Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Deadline's New Hollywood Podcast from quarantine, live. Not really live. It's not live. This week we have Lovey Simone from Cella and Cella.
Cella and the Spades. Yeah, it's currently streaming on Amazon, and it's really interesting. It's about these it's a boarding school in Pennsylvania, and it's like sort of divided up in these factions, and Lovey's character Cella is the head of one of the factions, and I don't want to give too much away, but yeah.
There's drama.
Obviously there's some drama obviously with
and like being her faction like, her faction is the top, like the top tier one, like
the top faction.
Yeah, so she's essentially the leader of all factions in a way.
Yeah, and yeah. They're actually doing a series based on it. Did you know that?
Oh my god! The movie is pretty.
They're doing a series based on the movie. I don't know if she's involved though.
But that
yeah,
would be.
Yeah, it is.
Should have asked.
Yeah, I know. I just thought about it. Like because I even think I wrote the story.
It's okay. It's okay. You know what? We're all in this.
It was
together.
A while ago.
We're all in this together, guys. I haven't.
Lovey's also. Yet. I don't know if you know this. Oh, I haven't eaten too. That's why I was gonna eat these during the recording, but I'm like, they're gonna. Well, because I'm literally like I was shaking, I was starving, but I don't want you guys to hear me crunch. So I opted
that's
not
fine.
To.
At this point, anything goes.
Yeah.
David will just have to deal with it.
But yeah, guys, Lovey,
to Lovey, coffee and produce.
But she's great. She also is in Greenleaf, and she's going to be starring in the upcoming remake. Is it a remake or redo? What did you say?
I think we will say it's like a reboot. I don't think it's connected to the old one at all, unless like some of the old actresses or they're not old, but the
but the original,
actresses come, and I think they have cameos. Mm. But whether or not it's connected is a totally, I think that's up in there. She was being very secretive about it.
Right. She did mention it's a whole different story. So The Craft is a classic, so I can't wait for that. Mm. But until then, here is Lovey.
Hello, Lovey. Thank you for joining us on the New Hollywood Podcast. From Atlanta.
Oh my gosh, the problematic problematic Georgia.
Yeah. I wasn't gonna say anything because, you know, it's not Lovey's fault. But, you know, my thoughts are with everyone, and I trust that you're doing your part.
Yeah, I am.
But so how has it been for you? Like, how has this lockdown period been? Have you been able to, you know, find new hobbies, join some challenges on Instagram? Like,
make banana bread.
Okay, I made banana bread, but I've been making banana bread before the quarantine.
What is happening? Hey.
I'm the OG, but I have been like getting into like a lot more of the things that I've been picking up throughout the years, like yoga and reading and writing, all that other stuff. So I'm usually a homebody, so this is not really too different for me. I just would like the choice of that, you know. So, but I am staying in. My family's staying in. We're staying safe.
Good.
Okay. Yeah, good. Good.
I'm doing some yoga too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I got some free app called it's called like dog something, lap dog or something like that, and they offered it for free in lockdown, and I used to do yoga like twice a week, and then I stopped for like 2 years. And then now I'm like picking it up again.
Yeah, I'm not a yoga person. It's just not for me. I've tried it a couple of times. I've tried hot yoga
classes. You should just try it. Now's the best time.
You know what I prefer? I prefer Pilates.
Hot yoga is very intense.
Yeah, yeah.
I've done hot yoga once and I was all never again.
I know. That's why I was like, this is not for me. No. But Pilates is good. I'll do Pilates. Yoga, I don't know. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I've been hitting that crow pose, if you know what I mean.
Oh, no.
When I hit the crow pose, I know I've done something right. Yes. Even if it's just for a second.
Just for a second. Yeah.
You should start a crow pose challenge on Instagram.
Well, one of my friends did.
Oh.
But I was like, I'm not participating. Cause I think I'm anti like not participating in challenges.
Oh, I refuse.
It's like someone trying to tell me something to do. And I'm like,
me too. I don't like authority. Yeah. It's not my thing.
I'm not going to do what you say. So I'm going to silently
protest.
You told
me to do it.
I can't do it at this point. I've made fun of it too many times. So if I do, it's going to look bad. But Lovey, I would like to ask you, because for our podcast, we really like to get the background of people that we have on. So sort of talk about when did you first, okay, what made you want to become a performer?
I think by nature, I just was, so I kind of gravitated towards it. I feel like ever since I was like younger, I always felt like I wanted to like tell stories, like through acting and through my body language and through facial expressions. So I've always just been hyper aware of like that want. So I've just been working on it ever since.
So were there any particular performers that you looked up to growing up?
Definitely Angelina Jolie, definitely Denzel Washington, definitely Angela Bassett. A lot of those types of like actors, like those strong, like really diverse people, I just love seeing them in so many different worlds and believing them, you know, because a lot of the times you don't have to like believe like or get as invested as you do, but I just love seeing them transform and like really take those emotions and display them so naturally and authentically.
What was the first thing that you performed in, like the first, were you like a school play or what is your earliest memory?
Or even a play at home.
Yeah. Like, what is your earliest memory of performing?
What's funny is, although I'm an actress, like I always like say this thing where it's like, I'm not an actress. I just, you know, act sometimes. Cause like, that's just what, one of the things I'm passionate about. I never in school did any theater acting and none of those shows, like barely anyone knew I was an actress when I was like in high school and in middle school and stuff like that. My first job was a commercial, but it wasn't really acting. So like the first acting things I was like really getting into was like in my bedroom, going on Google, looking up monologues for preteens and just like, going at it, like experiencing like the most harsh heartbreaks in my head.
What monologues do you remember?
I forgot. Yeah, yeah. They were just like random.
Were they like
ones.
From plays there or was one, from like films or TV?
They were from something, I'm not sure. Like, I don't remember exactly. I know I had these like two that I would just love to do because they were so like emotional. There was one and it was about this girl who was dying and she was saying goodbye to everything, like goodbye, coffee, smells in the morning and stuff. And there was like another one, because I love crying.
That's another thing.
And there was like another one with like this heartbreak and I was just like, what do you mean? And it was just us going back and forth and it was just beautiful.
Are you a person that can like, are you able to cry on cue? Cause I've always wanted to do that. I'm like, when I get stopped by police, I try and it never works with me.
It depends on the energy I have. Like I need to have enough energy for it. Like I gotta be like, okay, mentally prepare yourself to cry right now. Okay, do it. And then I'll just cry.
That is insane.
You should do a master class, like just online class.
It's all like habit, you know, like your body's like habits to like things. So like when I cry, I do certain like movements. Like I'll be like, so like when I'm not really crying, I'll just like mimic those like movements. And then my body's like, oh, we're crying now? Okay.
Oh, wow. So it's kind of like muscle memory.
Yeah,
like,
that's
exactly,
interesting.
Exactly what it is.
Because your body is your instrument.
I use it right.
No, it's true though. Don't people have to act with their whole bodies?
Yeah.
My entire being goes into when I'm in.
So you know it's Sela.
Yes.
Sela. I always like mispronounce it, but okay, so you know that movie, it's a movie. It is a journey. It's like, what is going on? People are messed up.
Yeah.
But you know, when you first read the script for it and when you were first approached, you know, mm-hmm. what was it that hooked you in about just, I mean, first of all, she's an amazing writer, amazing director, but like, what was it that were like, oh, I need to do this movie?
Well, for me, I remember just like reading the sides and I was like, whoa. And then reading what the project was about and I was like, wow, I really wish I went to boarding school and I really wish I had the freedom to kind of do all this like badass stuff. So I was like, I'm gonna just, you know, see what this is about real quick. And usually when you audition for stuff, you don't really have too much invested in it because it can go and you can be rejected just as fast. So I didn't think about it too much. But then when I had like the FaceTime session with Tyresha after I auditioned for it, I was like, okay, like I really want to be a part of this world. So it was just a world that I wanted to be a part of. I didn't care where I fit in it because I did audition for both Paloma and Sela. So I just wanted to be a part of it.
Wait, so I'm curious, were you sort of part of cliques when it came, like in high school or middle school? Because I was like, I think we all had, our, like, I was like a part of the sports clique. I played basketball. So we had our little clique and we had our own hallway that we would meet at every single morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yeah. So and the fact that this movie calls them factions makes it yeah. very intimidating.
It reminds me of Hunger Games. Or
Hunger, yeah, Hunger Games or that other one.
Allegiance.
Divergence.
That's it.
Because they're like, oh, you have these. And it's like, this is not a clique. These are like armies.
Right.
Yeah. I definitely wasn't a part of any of those. When I was in middle school, there wasn't as many cliques in my school. So like, I didn't really identify with just one type of person. I was just like the social butterfly. But mm-hmm. I went from going to school in Harlem in middle school to going to school upstate New York. Mm. So that was like a big difference. that was good for me. So I know I was like, before I went into high school, I remember telling myself, okay, before you go in here, you're not gonna get in any drama. All the drama stems from boys. These girls, these boys, they're not even at their peaks right now. Don't argue. So what I did when I went into high school mm-hmm. is I just stayed to myself. I had a couple of friends. Everybody knew of me. Nobody really knew me. So I was very introverted.
Mm-hmm. That's the best way to put it, though. You know, like, you don't want, you know, it's that whole balance of trying to be friends with a lot of people, but also minding your own business, so you don't have to share your business with yeah. anyone else.
Mm-hmm. I'm a very private person as well. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I was in band and choir. Oh yeah.
Wait, what instrument did you play?
Nerd. I was a big old nerd, band and choir nerd, but I did not mind it.
What instrument?
I was in drumline.
Oh, that's the cool one.
That's the cool one.
Yes, I was like, yeah. So like when I remember when I got my letter jacket, it's a drum line on the back, and I was like, yeah, bitch, this is.
Yeah, whenever you tell people that you were like doing band and choir, like you gotta say like I was in the drum line, by the way, just so you know.
I know. You gotta start with drum line before you.
Yeah. Can't be all. I was in band. I played clarinet. No shade to clarinet, but you know.
You gotta say I was in the drum line, so you kind of know what kind of.
Yeah, I'm in drum line. I was like Nick Cannon, drumline.
Oh yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking of when you that said
was,
it.
That's what I was thinking of too. I was like, that's why you have to say Nick, the first one, not the second one.
I never even watched the second one.
There was a VH1, I think there was a VH1 version.
What Scott was in.
No, oh my God, I think it was, because his friend was the star. I can't, shit.
It was, okay. Yeah, it was our co-worker was in one of the drum lines.
Shout out to you, Scott. Oh, yeah.
And I think he was like the resident white boy. And,
yeah.
Yeah. I just remember, I rewatched Drumline recently, and it kind of still holds up, you know?
It does.
Zoe Saldana looks exactly the same.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that it could be deemed as like a cult classic, right? Is it old enough for that? Okay.
But what were you gonna say, Amanda?
I was gonna ask. Like, I don't know what you guys think. I was thinking about when I was watching this movie. I was thinking there's not a lot of like stories that sort of revolve around like boarding school. And I'm wondering what sort of elements did that bring to the story, to your performance? Because I thought it was interesting. It's a boarding school, and there are Black kids at this boarding school, which I feel like that's not portrayed a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So what did that sort of bring to everything for you?
I feel like it being at a boarding school was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you're separated from adults, you know, that's when kids become their own people. You know, mm-hmm. that's when you can see them outside of, like, an adult storyline. So it was kind of, that energy was just there automatically because we were at a boarding school.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, 'cause there could have been a lot of, like, chances where, like, we could have followed the mom's story and why she was like that on her daughter, or the headmaster.
Yeah.
They were more... So kind of the pawns in this story that were the annoyances of the whole operation going on. So I love that whole factor, and I feel like that allowed me also to play a Black teenage girl with feelings a little more authentically and without that voice in the back of my head that's like, oh, but what about the angry Black girl, or what about the drug, whatever it could be attached to, that whatever stigma that comes with it. Like, I was just playing a person that had to figure it out. A lot of the times in films, the middle-aged white man is thrown problems and power and he has to figure it out. And I feel that's what Sela was given. So I loved that.
Yeah, I think when I was watching it, first off, it's like, oh, I haven't really seen a movie like this before, and that's what was pretty cool about it. But then it was giving me energy from different, like, Dear White People movie, Mean Girls, Rushmore.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Very much like, I was like, oh, but it still wasn't like those other movies. I was like, trying to wrap my head around what this is like. And then, like, that last part of the movie, I'm just like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know. But, you know, Amanda, like, made a good point about the boarding school. And also, you know, how do you think this movie speaks to, I guess, young, I'm going to sound old, but the youth?
What's the after-millennials again?
Gen Z.
Yeah.
Or even like, because I don't think the movie really doesn't touch on, I mean, it's present, but it's not really in your face about identity, like cultural politics, identity politics. And that kind of was pretty interesting, because you would think it would, but it doesn't really weigh into that. It's more about social structure, which was very interesting. But how do you think the movie speaks to where Gen Z is, or where the youth is right now?
There were a lot of relationships that I think that the Generation Z could relate to, especially now with people being a lot more comfortable with, like, their sexuality. There's a lot of forms of intimacy in this movie that aren't just specifically romantic and I want to kiss you. You know, that's mm-hmm. not what it's about all the time. And it showed so many, like, forms of that. And it showed so many power struggles and, like, how Sela handled control and how, like, she, like, raged. I feel like as a society, like, we don't get comfortable with, like, showing, like, our anger and our frustration and how we, like, work through it. But I think Sela was that person. Like, she was going to display everything she was feeling. And I think everyone has to kind of go through that just to kind of, like, not learn a lesson. I learned a lesson. But also just to show that control is kind of like a bar of soap, and if you try and, like, hold on to it tighter, it's gonna only slip out your hand more, that situation. So it could be like a good learning lesson too.
I want to ask about Sela and Paloma's relationship, and mm-hmm. why did they get so close so fast, why was Sela so drawn to Paloma? At first, at one point, I thought they were going to actually get together. they developed this really close friendship really fast, and Sela really took to her really quickly. So why was that?
You know, I always say that you gravitate towards your reflection most. So in this world, Paloma to me was a different version, but still a reflection of Sela, the Sela that had a different life. And I think Sela was very aware of that. So she was like, okay, I see you in me. You could be me, because she had to find someone to pass her whole faction down to, which was very important. So she was like, okay, like, I want to like take you in. And a lot of the times, like with the dynamics in like teenagers, it's a lot of the, I'll take you in, and it's like, okay. And then the person will go, and then it'll just be like that relationship, and it'll kind of start from there and grow from there. So that was how I feel that relationship, that's what I feel that relationship played off of.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was interesting because obviously like Sela is obviously the senior of the two, but it just seemed like she sort of saw Paloma as her equal and like treated her as that. And I think it's really important, especially when you're portraying female friendships. It doesn't always have to be like somebody
catty.
It doesn't have to be catty. Yeah. It doesn't have to be contentious. Like it could just be, and it could just be something that's just purely people are drawn to each other and get along great.
I totally agree with that. And I think the one thing that was different about, the one thing that made that in this movie was the fact that Sela saw her as her equal because she was going to be doing what Sela had to do.
Yeah.
Like they both were going to have to kind of hold up the weight of the faction because she's going to be the head. So Sela was like, okay. And I feel like throughout the movie, like as Sela was really seeing that she was her equal and she was really gonna take things, that's when her ego kind of popped out and was like, you're acting like me now. So that's when things got rough. But before that, it was definitely like that. And I loved seeing that. And I loved experiencing that on a set and filming, you know, like actually liking someone in real life and liking this girl, and when they say action, not having to completely switch it up like being like on the verge of like fighting her.
I think the movie's like very interesting.
Yeah,
it warrants multiple viewings.
Where
did you shoot, where did they shoot this?
In Boston.
But it takes place in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Okay.
Philly.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, it's all kind of like this, it's very Ivy League boarding school highbrow, like it's just like when you saw it for the first time with an audience, how was that for you?
Because it was at Sundance, right?
Yeah, it was at Sundance.
That was my first like lead project, so I'm not really used to seeing myself like all the time. So it was very weird because I'm so used to only seeing myself all the time in audition tapes on the little camera, and then you go like this and you say, okay, I like that one, that's cool. But it was really humbling too. I really appreciated like that moment of watching it. My hands were sweating. I was holding Celeste's hand while we were watching it, and then our hands got like to the slippery point. And we gotta let go. So it was just a fun, humbling, like weird experience.
So I wanna sort of pivot to The Craft, because it's like that's like one of my favorite movies.
It is iconic. I could watch that.
Any day.
So many.
All day. Any day.
Oh God! Now I want to watch it.
I think I'm gonna watch it.
But I think it's on Netflix or Hulu.
Have you not seen the original?
No, I've seen it. I'm gonna watch it again.
Were you familiar with it though before you got the film?
Not before the audition made me
watch it.
Watch the film.
Okay. Now, hail to the Guardians of the Watchtowers of the North.
Oh my god.
Wait, so how okay, I know you can't tell us everything.
I mean, you can if you want.
I mean, if you want to, we'll gladly. How close is this one to the original?
It's a different film.
Okay.
It's a different film, but it's just like coded in like the Craft like energy.
Okay. So it's not Okay, so it's a reboot. It's not like a continuation.
It's like a modern day version of Craft.
Mm. Oh my god! Oh, I'm so excited.
Can you tell us a little bit about your character?
Yeah, can you tell us anything about your character?
I think I'm gonna tell you guys all that I can. The character's name is Tabby.
Okay.
I play one of the witches.
Okay.
My witch background comes from my family. And what else can I say?
We don't want to get you in trouble.
Yeah.
Mike is crazy. She's crazy. Like, I'm so excited for everyone to see this movie. Like, you guys don't even know.
I'm excited. And you finished filming already, right? You finished filming.
Yes, we finished filming at November of last year.
Okay.
We started in October. So we've probably finished around November 20th.
And where was that shot?
Toronto.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh my god, I'm like really excited. I'm just really excited about that.
After I saw the movie, I was like, I have to get this. Like, there's no world in where I'm not booking this role.
Well, yeah. That's good. I mean, I'm excited.
excited for that. You manifested it.
Yep.
You have to. You did your witchcraft. Oh my god.
Yeah. Manifestation is so powerful, guys. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh shoot.
It is. So what else are you? What else is up for you next? What are you working on, or what do you want to work on? Any kind of genre you want to get into?
I want to get into all of it. I want to start doing a lot of action because I want to do all of my stunts. I like to, you know, take this craft that I'm working on and kind of let it lead me to other things. So, like, I don't have any balance. I don't have that much strength. So I would love to just, like, train to, like, do, like, some crazy, like, athletic, like, role or, like, a soldier role or something like that. So I would just want to do anything and everything. Cool. But
I can see that.
We should do a remake of G.I. Jane.
G.I. Jane.
G.I. Jane.
Would you want to be a superhero?
Yes, I would love to be a superhero.
Okay, good.
But before quarantine started, I wish it ended. Before quarantine started, I was filming Power Book 3. Raising Superstars. So I'm working on that. And that's gonna
How is it working with like 50 and all them?
It's really cool. Like, the table
scares me.
You know, he scared me a little too. I'm not even gonna lie. But being in a room with him is so different. Like, when I was at the table read, it was a lot of jokes and a lot of like smiles, and like everybody was like so chill, and I was like, wow, this is a New York cast, and like, this is what I've been missing. Like, yeah. I really miss New York because I'm born and raised from New York. Yeah.
Well, just don't borrow money from him.
I will never take a loan. Never.
Just don't borrow any money from him. Okay, so we like to sort of end this segment with this, like, a fun section. We call it the facts or the FAQs. So the first question is, what is the last thing that you binged?
The last thing that I binged was...
Or currently binging, maybe.
Or currently binging, yeah.
Castlevania.
Oh! The animated series on Netflix.
Yeah, I've seen the first season. I haven't started the second season yet.
Oh, yeah. I love that. And I started One Punch Man because I also told myself during this quarantine, I am going to start watching more anime. So I'm watching One Punch Man right now.
Okay.
Oh, they're doing a movie about that, aren't they? I think I just saw
there's your opportunity.
Because I'm only on episode one. Well, two if you want to like be technical, but yeah.
Well, like, it's so funny, like, all my friends watch anime and they're like pressuring me to get into things.
Yeah,
I have too much to watch.
I see why though.
There's something about this fantasy about and it takes you out of reality, that kind of And you, mm-hmm. it's like candy. It's like eye candy. It's so interesting.
Yeah. That's why I liked Castlevania too, because I always look at video games and I'm like, wow, that would be a great movie or like a great show. I would love to see that. But I heard it's based off of a video game.
Yeah, video game. I love that.
Yeah. I would love to make a video game.
Yeah. are you like an avid video game player?
Yeah, are you a gamer?
No, I'm not, okay. But I just love the world, and I definitely do, because I said to myself a couple weeks ago, hey, I want to get an Xbox or like a PlayStation or something.
Yeah,
like,
I've been debating on getting a gaming system, especially now. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to get a Nintendo Switch because apparently
everybody has those. Yeah.
Yeah. But like there was like some shortage, I think. Like everyone was ordering them. I'm not sure, I may be wrong. But I still want one.
Within like the last like 2-3 years, Nintendo Switches have been getting real popular.
They
might be making a new one. Maybe that's why they discontinued this one. I don't know.
Is that where the Animal Crossing thing is? Everyone's playing that game. I don't know.
This
thing everyone's playing. All the kids.
all the kids are doing it.
Lovey, would you rather be able to see 10 minutes into your own future or 10 minutes into the future of anyone but yourself?
That's a hard one.
I know.
Anyone but myself.
You could make money off of that, though.
Yeah, I honestly agree with you. I don't think I want to know my future.
I don't want to know it.
Yeah. I mean, I do, but I don't. Yeah.
And if you can choose, like, a family member, and if you can see, like, okay, they're good. Okay, if they're good, then, like, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
But if I'm not, then I'll be like, okay, you gotta start eating a lot more vegetables.
No, seriously. Okay, what film, TV show, or musician do you think people would be surprised that you're obsessed with?
Man. Okay, well, I listen to Kings of Leon.
Okay.
I actually like Kings of Leon.
Yeah, me too.
I like Kings of Leon. They have a nice sound.
Right? Like the voice people, is so like different. And I guess people wouldn't normally think I would listen to that.
Yeah, actually
that's so like different from my music.
Yeah. So, okay, since you're in Charmed and you're also in Stella and Spade.
Charmed, not Charmed,
The Craft.
I was like,
witches.
I don't remember that.
I'm getting my witches screwed up. Sorry.
It's fine.
Oh my God. I have it written over here. Anyways, so you're not in Charmed. You're in The Craft. Let's get that straight. Okay, so how do you think the girls of The Craft would handle Sela? Would they immediately get rid of her, or would they toy with her?
I think they would toy with her.
Mm. Or how would your character in The Craft deal with her?
My character in The Craft would have... She wouldn't have accepted any of Sela's. But they probably would be a good match now that I'm thinking about it, because, you know, Sela, she's a mobster. Like, she's got people.
No, yeah.
You know?
What? But your character in a craft seems like she has power. Like
she has power, yeah.
A different kind of power than...
Yeah, she has, yeah.
Oh, that would be good. A crossover event. How about that? You playing dual roles.
Yeah.
Right. So much intensity from
all. Hey, technology, it can happen. What's the first thing you're going to do once this quarantine is over?
You know, I'm going to take myself out to eat. I'm going to go... by myself, I don't even care. Like, if we've been so thing, and if I've been by myself, I'm gonna be by myself when I go out there. And I'm gonna go take myself out to eat, and I'm gonna probably buy myself a glass of wine, even though I don't drink. So it's probably gonna sit pretty for a little bit. And I'm gonna have like a whole like chill day, just out like at parks. I'm definitely gonna hit up my crystal shop. really miss going to libraries. Like, I'll just put it all in like one day.
You still go to libraries?
Yeah, I don't like.
I haven't been to a library, and I don't even know. I don't even think I went in college.
I don't like ebooks at all.
Oh, really?
No, I'm with you on that, because I do like tangible media. Like, I love a book. I love feelings. I mean, once in a while. Like,
you do audiobooks, don't you?
I do an audiobook if it's like kind of a self-help something or other, but I will probably end up buying the actual copy too and like highlighting stuff.
Cause you just want to have it too. A lot of the times it's just about like having it just like with me. And I don't like looking at my screen for too long, cause my eyes start.
Yeah. It's actually bad for you.
I can read a book in a day. So if I'm like on my screen all day.
And then there's something about the weight. And like kind of knowing, oh, I have this much left, or, you know,
it's
like so accomplished.
Look at what I did, guys. I read this.
Add that to the collection.
Our final question is we ask this to all our guests, is there an underrepresented voice in the industry, whether it's an actor, writer, producer, storyteller, creator, that is not in the mainstream that you think people need to know about and you want to give shine to?
Yes. Before I answer this question with a specific person, I will say that I think there is a world of artists that are underrated. And I think that that world should be discovered a lot more.
I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts on this, because I do have, like, I listen to so many artists that, like, people need to be listening to, or I listen to so many artists that are finally now mainstream or like big, and I'm like, dude, you could have just been listening to them this whole time.
But right now there's an artist, his name is A-Lo.
A-Lo, okay.
A-Lo, yes. He is like,
his sound production and like his voice and like his flow is just so like beautiful, like, and the way he like blends it all together. I love people that can like take me somewhere, like on a little journey, you know, like I love when like my little heartstrings are pulled. So yeah. I definitely think he's the person that is underrated as of right now.
Is it A-Lo?
A-Lo.
A-Y-L-O.
A-Y-L-O. Okay.
I feel like I've heard that name before.
Me too. It felt like
it's Nigerian.
Oh, he's Nigerian?
Yeah, Amanda's Nigerian.
My people.
Okay, A-Lo.
A-Y-L-O, right? Is that what she said? A-Y-L-O.
Okay, I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, yes. I feel like I heard
his sound is so amazing.
Cool.
Shout out to A-Lo.
Yeah, shout out to A-Lo. Lovey, thank you so much for talking to us from the South, from where Ludacris is from.
Yep, and Lloyd.
I hope everything goes well. You know, we're
definitely. Yeah, I hope everything. I mean, I trust that people will do the right thing.
No, I don't.
I know that you are, but right. So in this space, great. Can't wait for The Craft. Not Charmed, although Charmed is good on its own. The craft is different. So waiting for that. Thank you so much, Lovey, for joining us. And hopefully we get to meet you in person.
Yeah, hopefully we can meet in person. Yeah.
Yes.
Cool.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.